what we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome, everyone, to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Ed.
And Chris Woodward, our news guy today.
Good morning.
Now, folks, it is Monday, January 20th, and there was something important about today. Oh, it is Dr. Martin Luther King Day. That's important, but that wasn't it. Notre Dame and Ohio State play for the national championship for college football tonight. That wasn't it. That's right. It's Donald Trump Day in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. It is Inauguration Day, and for a lot of, especially Christians, Fred, we feel like we've gotten a reprieve.
That is for sure. You're right. It is Donald Trump's day. Been, you know, listening to some of the speeches on the weekend. And I remember something he said over the last 4 years when he was going through these trials and charges being leveled against him. He said, if I get reelected, that will be my vindication. And a lot of people doubted that would happen, given the extent of the justice system against him, the mainstream media, all of these things that have gone on over the last 4 years. And here we are, January 20th, 2025, and we are just moments away from Donald Trump being sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. It is an incredible scene, folks, in Washington, D.C. right now. You all probably are aware that they had to move everything inside because of the weather.
Right.
We are watching shots right now of inside the rotunda, the Capitol Rotunda. Only 600 people can make it inside there. There are another 2,000 in rooms elsewhere. But we've been watching as people file in. At this moment, President Joe Biden and President-elect Donald Trump are in the building. They are just in a side room awaiting everybody to be coming in. Donald Trump's designate cabinet members have already filed in. Members of the United States Supreme Court have just filed in. So the stage is set for this big event, which is going to start happening in just a few moments.
Well, and this is one of the most unbelievable political events in our nation's history. Mm. I'm talking about the comeback, the political comeback mm-hmm. of Donald Trump. I would say 2016 and 2024, certainly the elite in our country thought it was impossible. First election, his election again in November, they thought it could not happen, but it has happened. It is an extraordinary event, and I guess it has just proven you don't bet against Donald Trump because anything can happen. Now, Fred, before we go any further, and before, Chris, we turn to you for some of the news we're going to be covering, Fred, we are trying something today
yes.
that we've never done before, or at least initiating something with Fox News. What are we going to be doing, and what do we have to look forward to here in probably 30 minutes, 45 minutes, something like that?
Yes, we have extended a contract with Fox News, which is going to allow us to play for you folks, our listeners, live from the Rotunda, the various parts of the program. Obviously, the most important one is the swearing in. But shortly after that, we have the speech from soon-to-be President Donald Trump. So we're going to be able to bring that to you live.
Now, during this program.
During this program. So over the next, hour and a half or so, folks. Stay tuned. Mm-hmm. Now, you may hear voices, not ours, you may hear voices of Fox anchors as they are doing their show. But the important parts are going to be, obviously, the swearing-in of Vice President Vance, and obviously the swearing-in of the president, and some of the other components of the program. So this is all unfolding in real time, and we're going to do our very best to bring it to you, folks, our AFR audience, live.
And we may have an opportunity in between some of the we're going to start our coverage in terms of this feed from Fox News live, what's happening in D.C. with the call to order by Senator Amy Klobuchar, Democrat from Minnesota. We are going to listen in to the invocation by Cardinal Timothy Dolan, Archbishop of New York, and the Reverend Franklin Graham of Samaritan's Purse and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. We're also going to listen to a couple of songs, O America by opera singer Christopher Macchio, I guess that's how you pronounce it. Then the Vice Presidential Oath of Office administered by U.S. Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh for J.D. Vance. Carrie Underwood will be singing America the Beautiful, the Beautiful with the Armed Forces Chorus and the United States Naval Academy Glee Club. And then the Presidential Oath of Office. There will be another song after that, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, performed by the U.S. Naval Academy Glee Club, and then Trump's inaugural address. I'm not sure we'll have many chances to comment. I don't know how quickly this is going to unfold once these individual components to the program begin. But, Fred, you were noting that it's they have started moving through some of the pre-inauguration events pretty quickly.
Yes.
So we may start actually earlier than we initially anticipated.
Yes, it was supposed, formally, the swearing-in was to be at 11 o'clock Central Time, swearing-in of the president. But things have moved very quickly this morning. They had the church service at St. John's Episcopal Church. Mm-hmm. That did not last too long. And then President-elect Trump, Melania Trump, took a ride over to the White House where they had tea with President Biden and Jill Biden. That didn't take long either. And then we had the cars arriving at Capitol Hill, the cars with J.D. Vance and his wife, with Vice President Kamala Harris and her husband, and then Donald Trump and President Biden coming in. So all of this has been moving. I don't know whether the fact that it's being held in the rotunda rather than outside has allowed things to move along very quickly. Very limited crowd inside, as we just talked about. So it didn't take long for all these people to file in. But it's the stage is just about set now for the formal program to begin.
And folks, when it's time, I'm going to get a thumbs up from Brent Creeley, and we will stop talking. And we will allow the feed and the live events during the inauguration ceremony to commence, and you will be able to hear it. Chris, the expectation today is that President Trump, that this is not just going to be a day for tea and parties. He's going to actually start work today with executive orders, yes, and all kinds of things that have already, I'm sure, been prepared
right
ahead of time.
Yeah, I'll mention several things here just on a list. If we want to rattle off a few examples of ourselves, Trump will reportedly declare a national border emergency today. He will also reportedly direct the U.S. military to work with the Department of Homeland Security to fully secure the southern border. He's also supposed to close the border to all illegal aliens by a proclamation and designate cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. He's also expected to reinstate the Remain in Mexico policy, which is something from his first time in office. And it looks like President Trump will also end catch and release. That's just on immigration. on things like energy, which impacts everybody listening to the sound of my voice. President Trump is supposedly going to pause all offshore wind leases. He's going to roll back the Biden-era executive orders and actions, including things like that EV mandate.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also going to end the Green New Deal. That's according to Fox and many other news outlets, all of which say these are things that we are expecting today or tomorrow at the very latest. So he is going to hit the ground running, which he said he was going to do. I've got a soundbite here. We can dump out of it if we need to. But here is our new or soon-to-be President Trump promising change during his second term, clip four.
The curtain closes on four long years of American decline, and we begin a brand new day of American strength and prosperity, dignity and pride.
Fred, a lot of interesting things we can expect right out of the gate with President Trump. On the immigration issue, I was kind of fascinated by the move by the president-elect, soon to be the president, to declare these drug cartels as terrorist organizations.
Uh-huh.
That seems to me to open up the possibility of military action against these drug cartels. And maybe that is a bargaining chip that the Trump administration would use with Mexico and some of these other countries to say, listen, you either crack down on them or we will.
Been listening to President-elect's border czar, Tom Holman.
Yeah.
In the last couple of days, really interesting. He didn't come out with details of what they're going to do, but it sounds to me like as early as sometime this afternoon and this evening, mm-hmm. we could start to see the first of the roundup of people who are in this country illegally. Tom Holman has said the number one priority are those who not only in the country illegally, but are known to have a violent background.
Yes.
All right. So the indication is this is all going to start to unfold this afternoon and this evening.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be either taken to a place or they could start to be flown out of the country as soon as later today. So we're going to see things, not only the executive orders passed, but we're going to start to see actions on these things as early as today.
Well, and just in case our listeners were running away with optimism, Tom Homan's plans for going to these cities and rounding up especially the violent illegals, that plan was leaked over the weekend, I think, wasn't it, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
It was leaked. So President Trump is going to have to deal with the deep state, which will be resisting every effort of the Trump administration to cure some of the ills that have been created over the past 4 years by the Biden administration. So it's those kinds of things. You have governors and mayors of blue cities who have said we're not cooperating with these roundups. So there should be some fireworks ahead.
Very interesting. You mentioned mayors of blue cities. Mm-hmm. New York Mayor Adams apparently got an invitation last night, and he's either on a train or has flown down to Washington to be there today. That's another story that's unfolded in the last couple of days. Apparently a friendship. I believe Adams has been down to Mar-a-Lago.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he believes, Adams apparently, that the Democratic Party has turned against him.
Yeah.
And so he has become a friend of President-elect Donald Trump. So we may see New York be on the front end of some of this activity of rounding up the violent illegals.
Right. I think Adams, Mayor Adams, was the first blue city mayor to have a sit down with incoming border czar Tom Homan, because not long after the election, maybe a week, if it was that long, Tom Homan sat down with him, and Fox and many other news outlets had pictures of the two of them sitting down in Adams' office there in the Big Apple, talking about presumably immigration reform after President Trump takes the oath of office. For people not aware, Trump is actually the second U.S. president now elected to two non-consecutive terms. The first was Grover Cleveland, who was the 22nd and 24th president back in the day, late 1800s.
Well, it's an incredible story, and this is, you know, as they say, this is one for the history books. But beyond the fact of what you just said, that this is not the first time that a president has been elected to non-consecutive terms, is the story of the last 8 years. Well, really, yeah, I guess maybe 9 years when Trump...
Almost 10.
Yeah.
2015 was the escalator ride.
Yes. Yeah. So that's right, almost 10 years. So what this president went through over those 10 years is extraordinary. And I just got to say, a lesser man would have probably been crushed by discouragement or what have you, frustration, mm-hmm. anger. Obviously, President Trump's constitution, we've talked about, he's kind of a force of nature in terms of his physical stamina, but also his, in fact, he I think there was an ad or part of his speech at the rally last night was also put into some sort of ad, but he was talking about you can never quit. And there was kind of a montage of things that were announced by the media about the charges against the former president at the time, former president. And then one thing after another, what they said about him, and he, in this ad, talked about the fact that you can never quit. So mm-hmm. yeah. Extraordinary event is going to be unfolding today, by the way. Just want to remind you folks, if you're just tuning in, we'll be breaking away. We're not quite sure when. We'll be taking the Fox News feed so you can hear all that is going on in Washington, D.C., the swearing-in ceremony. It's got many components to it, call to order, invocation, several songs, the vice presidential oath of office administered to J.D. Vance, and then the presidential oath with songs here and there, and then President Trump's inaugural address. So we will be carrying that as it unfolds in the nation's capital for you to hear here on American Family Radio.
Yeah, you know, I've said to a couple of people in recent days, I hope you realize you're living through history. You know, if the Lord tarries 10, 20 years from now when they write the history of this period,
right?
Stop and think. We just talked about Trump starting his political career not by running for school board or city council.
It's a good point.
He takes a ride down that escalator. I'm going to run for president.
Yeah.
You know, a total non-politician. He wins that election in 16 and then faces this barrage from every corner of the liberal mindset
right.
for the next 4 years. And then the last 4 years, he's out of office, but he's facing this judicial hurricane against him on all quarters. And despite all of that, we arrive at this point today where he is elected. The other part of this story is what happened to the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. You know, going back to last June, that debate.
Yes, June 26th.
And the turmoil that was created inside the Democratic Party, which helped lead to Trump's reelection. There's been so much going on over the last few years. It's been absolutely incredible. But, you know, someone was just doing some analysis this morning. They're saying Trump appears to be having a much better time, a good time enjoying this than he did back in 2016 when he won the first time around. I think he's much more aware of what's going on. He's much more aware of what has to be done. He's much more aware of the kinds of players he's going to need to realize his agenda.
Yeah, and your point about the Democratic Party, it looks like it's continuing to unravel.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the New York City mayor. You know, John Fetterman had a meeting with President Trump. You have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez over the weekend making outlandish statements that we're heading into a fascist regime. Totally clueless. Bernie Sanders, a week or so ago, talking about his pet projects as a Marxist, as a socialist. The Democratic Party it looks like it is on the verge of being taken over by radicals, even more so than it has been. And so the old guard, represented by the Clintons and the Obamas, can they hold off this tide of radicalism that is probably as much a contributing factor to President Trump's win as the economy was? I think people just do not like the radical radical turn that the Democratic Party has taken.
Speaking of the Clintons, Bill and Hillary are in attendance today. I'm watching the various news outlets covering this. Various Democrats in the room today do include Bill and Hillary, as I just mentioned. Doug Emhoff, that's the husband of Kamala Harris. Joe Biden is also there. I'm assuming Joe as well. And then Senator Cory Booker, himself a radical Democrat, is also there for the swearing in today, it appears.
Yeah, the Bushes just walked in. But also Barack Obama all by himself.
Yes, Michelle Obama said she was not going to pretend, I think was how she put it, that she does not like President Trump, doesn't agree with him, and she is not going to show up, which to me is representative of this radical wing of the party. Willing to jettison civility and willing to jettison what we have always done in the peaceful transfer of power. And this is, I think, something with which the Democratic Party is going to have to reckon here in the next 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
So, Chris, one other thing that it looks like President Trump is going to do, these 51 members of the intelligence community that were responsible for deep sixing the Hunter Biden laptop story, saying this was Russian disinformation, they're going to have their clearance.
Yes.
Their security clearances suspended. It's not revoked. I'm sure there's a technical difference. It can, I guess if it's been suspended, it can be reinstituted at a later point. But that's an initial salvo, if you will, against those who basically lied to try and held important government official jobs in the past and had security clearance, but frankly misused it in order to score political points, political hits against.
And talking about radical Dems, they're going to say, and this is pretty much going to be the talking point for Democrats this month. It's going to be, he's a dictator. We told you this was going to happen, but he's the chief executive and therefore does have the power.
Yeah. All right, folks, you are listening to American Family Association, American Family Radio. Today's issues, probably in the next 15 minutes, we will, after this break, be going directly to Washington, D.C. for the Fox News feed on the events in and around the swearing-in ceremony that is going to be taking place here soon inside the U.S. Capitol Rotunda. And so we're going to be covering that. We may have opportunities to come back for a few minutes in between some of these events, but I think it's probably going to move pretty quickly. And so we've got music, we've got invocations, we got prayers, we got speeches, all coming up after this break. We hope you will return and join us. You're listening to Today's Issues. We'll be right back.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Years ago, a national magazine carried an article about insurance company executive Edward Rust. Rust related an incident which happened while he was in an office conference in Bloomington, Illinois. Rust interrupted the meeting to answer a call from a customer of his company who was in Houston. Rust spoke with the customer, listened to the problem he was having, and then was able to help the customer. Rust said that when the conversation was ended, one of the people in the office conference commented that an efficiency expert would be appalled that he would interrupt an important meeting in order to involve himself in the problems of one of the company's 20 million policy holders. He was told that an efficiency expert would consider it an inefficient use of executive time. The reply Rust gave was this: "My response was, and I deeply believe this, that the day I refuse calls from customers is the day I should resign, because that is the day I will have begun to lose contact with the real world in which we operate." As I read that story, I got to thinking about God. Many times we doubt if God is interested in us personally and in our personal problems. With more than a billion people on the earth, it's hard to conceive of a God who could and would be concerned about us personally. However, this is precisely the message of the New Testament. God does know each of us, even as a shepherd knows his sheep. He's concerned about us and about our problems. He is not a remote God, far off somewhere in his heaven, unconcerned about us. His presence sometimes surprises us as much as it did Jacob. "Surely the Lord is in this place," said Jacob, "and I did not know it." He is as close as the air we breathe, more concerned about us than perhaps we are about ourselves. The message of the New Testament is that God cares. God so loved the world that he gave. God is accessible to each of us. He will even interrupt a council meeting with the angels in order to listen and help with our problems. A man by the name of Brewer Maddox wrote a little poem which reminds us that God has not lost contact with the real world in which we live. Let me share it with you. The parish priest of austerity climbed up in a high church steeple to be near a God so that he might hand down his word to his people. And in sermon script, he daily wrote what he thought was sent from heaven and dropped this down on people's heads 2 times, 1 day in 7. In his age, God said, "Come down and die." And he cried from the steeple, "Where art thou, Lord?" And the Lord replied, "Down here among my people." That's where you'll always find God, among his people.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
As it is written, "What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him." 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. In fact, he is in D.C. for the inauguration events. Ed Vitagliano, Fred Jackson, Chris Woodward here. I mentioned before the break, and we said at the top of the hour, that we will be taking the Fox News feed of the events surrounding the swearing-in of Vice President J.D. Vance, but obviously President Donald Trump. Today at the nation's capital. This is Inauguration Day. I do want to make mention of the fact that at the top of the hour, somewhere in there, regardless of what is going on, we will have to take a very, very brief break for station identification. That's required by law. So don't get upset at us. We're going to try to place that in a spot that doesn't really affect you hearing the most important things that will be going on today, which is the oath of office administered to especially President-elect Donald Trump. Again, Fred Jackson and Chris Woodward here. It is Inauguration Day, and we will be covering that and giving you a live feed of what's going to be happening around that, including the call to order, the invocations by Cardinal Timothy Dolan, Archbishop of New York, and the Reverend Franklin Graham, of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. We're trying to play some of the songs that are going to be sung. They'll be kind of mixed in. America the Beautiful by Carrie Underwood. The Battle Hymn. I don't know why I keep having a hard time saying that. Battle Hymn of the Republic. And then, of course, at the end of it all, the inaugural address of, at that point, President Trump. He's president-elect until he is sworn in.
Yeah, just what's happening right now, folks. President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris are about to enter the rotunda. They'll be followed by Vice President-elect J.D. Vance, and then President-elect Donald Trump will be the last one who is escorted in. So some of the program is already underway. There is the opera singer. Ed, you're the Italian. Christopher D. Macchio?
Macchio. Yes. I'm not sure how it's... there is some rule for pronouncing the double C.
Okay.
In Italian, but it has to do with, I think, with the what consonant comes after it, and I don't speak Italian. So I'm going to say Macchio.
Yes.
And I'll just slur it, you know, enough to make it sound like, you know, but I don't think it's Macchio. It could be.
He does not appear Macchio. To be related to Ralph Macchio, if anybody is curious. I have looked that up through an exhaustive Google search that took 5 minutes.
And as I mentioned before, whatever we're talking about when that's Amy Klobuchar down there, wasn't it?
Yes. Think?
Whenever she gets up to call the session to order, I'm talking about Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota. We're just going to stop what we're doing and let you start listening to, well, there's President Trump coming in, at least on the Fox News feed, and very serious expression on his face. I'm sure he'll be a lot more jovial when he's giving his address. He was fired up last night.
Oh, I tell you what.
At a rally. The man is just a consummate entertainer. I don't mean that in a negative way, but to have a rally after you've won and the day before your inauguration day, it just to me proves that he loves his supporters, he loves the country, and has fun while he's doing it. So I imagine, well, we'll wait and see what his inaugural address will
be for our fashion conscious listeners. First Lady Melania Trump just walked in. And no surprise, she looks like she just walked out of a magazine.
Yes. Well, she's a model.
Yeah.
And she always looks like one.
Yeah. And she is, I think, the only lady wearing a hat.
Mm-hmm.
She,
yes.
A very stylish looking hat. And she's standing beside Barron Trump, who is much taller than his mom right now. But
now she's fairly tall herself.
She's tall herself. Of course, Donald Trump is tall.
Near 6 feet. So that's where he gets it from. I think he's six. Is he 6'6"? Something.
6'9".
He's
6'9"?
Oh, yeah.
That must be nice.
Yes. Is he still a teenager or is he in his 20s yet?
He is. He was born in 2006, so he is 19 years old.
19 years old.
Wow.
This year. His birthday is in March 20th.
So we have on one side, most of the Trump family are there. Mm-hmm. They've already arrived and have been placed and seated there. And as I say, we're getting down to the last Hakeem Jeffries, the minority House leader, is just coming in. Mm-hmm. So we're down to the last three or four that have to be seated just before President-elect Donald Trump comes in. And then I believe the program is going to move along very, very quickly once that happens. At this moment, President Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris are entering the room. They will be seated. Obviously, you know, it is one of those ceremonies. People are applauding, both Republicans and Democrats at this moment. This has got to be quite a moment. Joe Biden, you know.
He's smiling.
He's smiling, but it's got to be quite a moment. When he left the White House this morning.
Yes, because they were packing up yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't. They had people packing their stuff, but they were packing to leave.
Uh-huh.
He is, over the last couple of weeks and in speeches that he's made, he has, you know, said what he believed that he could have beaten Donald Trump.
Yeah.
There's got to be some, I don't know whether it's regret there for being kind of forced into stepping down. I don't know, a little bitterness, who knows, but it's got to be a very difficult thing to leave under the cloud that he's under.
Yep.
No matter what he says, and he has, you know, made claims about how great the country was under his administration.
And, you know, parked out front of the Capitol building right now is Marine One. Mm. And he will depart, and that will be it.
Yeah.
He will officially enter retirement. He was down in South Carolina yesterday. He had a couple of events down in South Carolina.
Spoke at a church.
Mm-hmm. But I guess he'll be going home to Delaware. And he'll watch, like the rest of us, history unfold with soon-to-be President Donald Trump.
Well, and also he's going to see a lot of, and this is part of the downside of executive orders. And that's, I don't know when that started in earnest, maybe with President Obama, who said, remember famously, I have a phone and a pen.
Yeah.
I can get a lot of things done. But President Biden got a lot of his agenda done with executive orders, and they're going to be dismissed by President Trump with a pen another executive order. So a lot of what President Biden, you know, insists that he got done in his 4 years will be overturned.
Yeah.
So that's got to enter into it when you leave. What exactly did I accomplish? So we're looking at Vice President-elect J.D. Vance, who has just come in. Some of the Trumps behind him, his wife. And so I'm not sure who else is going to be coming through the door as we prepare for the inauguration ceremonies to really begin to unfold in earnest. So, folks, we are waiting when the Fox feed begins. And this, I'm not sure if this is Amy Klobuchar. No, it's not Amy Klobuchar. There's Chuck Schumer coming. I know, folks, it sounds funny that we're watching things and you can't see them. But
We
are waiting. Basically, we're waiting for the Fox News to begin, Fox News feed to begin. And then we will cut to it and cover it.
Yes.
She's there.
I wish I had the, I don't know if they call it copyright on red ties.
And blue ties on the Democratic
red ties
side.
And blue ties, I tell you what.
Jackie Rosen has green on. She went against the
Hood.
So, all right, there's Amy Klobuchar. A little bit awkward here, folks. We're just waiting for her to step to the podium. And call, and that will be the sign for the call to order by Amy Klobuchar of, she's the Democratic senator from Minnesota. She will call the ceremony to order, and then we will go to the Fox News feed. After Senator Klobuchar is finished, we will have invocations by both Cardinal Timothy Dolan, who's the Archbishop of New York, and the Reverend Franklin Graham of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. There's President Trump coming in. Also to applause. I think that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
I think both sides ought to applaud. You can, you know, once... he didn't want to... He's going to kiss the cheek of his of Melania Trump, but you don't want to mess up her makeup.
No.
And so...
I think he was worried about tilting her hat. He moved it too close.
He tried to get in. At least he's not going to try to kiss J.D. Vance on the cheek.
No, I would hope not.
I do like and appreciate both sides applauding both presidents. We've got to return to some degree of civility, even if during the political back and forth when, you know, Congress is in session, that kind of combat is fine. For these kinds of ceremonies, it is important that we recognize some civility.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, folks, we are going to be going to the Fox News feed. We decided to try this, I guess, for a year, where for important speeches, we can just cut to the live feed and let you listen to what is happening, whether that's in Washington, D.C. or somewhere else, to just kind of get it straight. And then we can always have commentary afterwards. Now, the president's inauguration was set to begin at 11 o'clock Central Time. We will see if they've been running a little bit ahead of schedule. So we'll see if it comes up a little bit earlier than that. And we will stay with this feed to catch the inaugural address of the president after he has been sworn in. Again, I mentioned at the top of the program that there are a couple of songs mixed in. America the Beautiful by Carrie Underwood and the Armed Forces Chorus and United States Naval Academy Glee Club. All right, let's go.
Over the last many
Good morning,
months.
Everyone. Welcome to the 60th presidential inauguration. Today, President-elect Trump and Vice President-elect Vance will take their oaths of office, and we will witness the peaceful transfer of power at the heart of our democracy. For the past year, I've chaired the inaugural ceremony committee, which includes the leadership of Congress from both parties. We thank the committee and Capitol staff and law enforcement who worked so hard over the last year, and especially the last 3 days. You've done a beautiful job, and you have shown grace under pressure. Our theme this year is our enduring democracy. The presence of so many presidents and vice presidents here today is truly a testament to that endurance. We welcome President Biden and Dr. Biden. We welcome Vice President Harris and Doug Emhoff, President Obama, President Clinton and Secretary Clinton, President Bush and Laura Bush, Vice President Pence, Vice President Quayle and Marilyn Quayle. The justices of the United States Supreme Court are with us, all 9 of them I counted, and of course, the Trump and Vance families. This ceremony marks what will soon be 250 years of our democracy. It is the moment when leaders elevated by the will of the people promise to be faithful to our Constitution, to cherish and defend it. It is the moment when they become, as we all should be, the guardians of our country. Through war and peace, through adversity and prosperity, we hold this inauguration every 4 years, and today it falls on Martin Luther King Day. A further reminder that we must strive to uphold the values enshrined in our Constitution, the freedoms, the liberties, and as is inscribed on the entrance of the United States Supreme Court, equal justice under law. But what makes this moment more than a passing ceremony is all who are watching it across the country, the people of this nation, the ordinary people doing extraordinary things. President Kennedy, who at one point worked as a senator in this building and would often walk through this very rotunda, once said, "In a democracy, every citizen, regardless of interest in politics, holds office. Every one of us is in a position of responsibility. With that responsibility of citizenship comes an obligation not to seek out malice, as President Lincoln once reminded us, but to view others with a generosity of spirit despite our differences. With that responsibility of leadership comes an obligation to stand our ground when we must and find common ground when we can. With everything swirling around us, the hot mess of division, it is on all of us, to quote an incredible songwriter who just happened to be born in my state, to ensure that our nation's democracy is our shelter from the storm. There's a reason this ceremony takes place at the Capitol. In other countries, it might be in a presidential palace or a gilded executive office building. Here, it is traditionally held at the Capitol, the People's House. It is a fitting reminder of the system of checks and balances that is the very foundation of our government, three equal branches of government. That is how, for nearly 250 years, our great American experiment, grounded in the rule of law, has endured. So, as we inaugurate a new president and vice president, let us remember that the power of those in this room comes from the people. The construction workers who build our country, the teachers and healthcare workers who nurture us, the troops defending our freedoms, and yes, the firefighters in Los Angeles putting themselves on the line for us. Our democracy's strength and grit must match theirs. May God bless our nation. Thank you.
That is Amy Klobuchar, the Democratic senator from Minnesota, who probably could have handled being outside today, given, if you recall, the presidential announcement she made several years ago, Josh.
She's used snowstorm. To the snow, man, and she's used to being a party planner.
She
and
is.
That,
yeah.
That was a good, nice bipartisan speech.
And now we will hear from Deb Fischer,
good afternoon.
The Republican senator.
Endurance
from Nebraska.
Through the years is the ultimate test. To persevere through time is the truest measure of an idea, an institution, and a nation. Our founders wrote the Constitution so that America could withstand all the twists and turns of time. They wrote it to guide us and to preserve forever our right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But as much as the truths and principles enshrined in our Constitution remain the same, our democracy promises the American people the power to change, to chart their own destiny. That's the beauty. That is the importance of democracy. It allows the endurance, the permanence of a nation through change. It allows nations like our United States both to avoid the obstacles and to seize the opportunities God has placed before us, all while staying true to our founding principles. Today is our country's 60th inauguration ceremony. Like all the others before it, it is a celebration of our right to set our uniquely American course. The past several years have been trying at times for many, many Americans, and also for the nations of the free world that we humbly strive to lead. In November, Americans chose again to steer this nation towards greatness, the secure, safe, and prosperous future that our founders envisioned for all of us. And today, we celebrate not only their decision to do so, but also the simple right and wisdom of a free people to make their own choice so that their nation might endure. And now, allow me to welcome Archbishop Timothy Dolan and Reverend Franklin Graham, who will deliver our invocation. Please rise.
Be still and know that I am God, supreme among the nations, supreme on the earth. Let us pray. Remembering General George Washington on his knees at Valley Forge, recalling Abraham Lincoln at his second inaugural, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right. Remembering General George Patton's instructions to his soldiers as they began the Battle of the Bulge 8 decades ago, pray. Pray when fighting, pray alone, pray with others, pray by night, pray by day. Observing the birthday of the Reverend Martin Luther King, who warned, without God, our efforts turn to ashes. We, blessed citizens of this one nation under God, humbled by our claim that in God we trust, gather indeed this inauguration day to pray for our President Donald J. Trump, his family, his advisors, his cabinet, his aspirations, his vice president, for the Lord's blessings upon Joseph Biden, for our men and women in uniform, for each other whose hopes are stoked this new year, this inauguration day. We cannot err in relying upon that prayer from the Bible, upon which our president will soon place his hand in oath, as we make our own the supplications of King Solomon for wisdom as he began his governance. God of our fathers, in your wisdom you set man to govern your creatures, to govern in holiness and justice, to render justice with integrity. Give our leader wisdom, for he is your servant, aware of his own weakness and brevity of life. If wisdom which comes not from you be not with him, he shall be held in no esteem. Send wisdom from heavens that she may be with him, that he may know your designs. Please, God, bless America. Please, mend her every flaw. You are the God in whom we trust, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.
Mr. President, the last 4 years, there are times I'm sure you thought it was pretty dark. But look what God has done. We praise him and give him glory. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, thou hast said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. As the prophet Daniel prayed, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings. He raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Our Father, today, as President Donald J. Trump takes the oath of office once again, we come to say thank you, O Lord our God. Father, when Donald Trump's enemies thought he was down and out, you and you alone saved his life and raised him up with strength and power by your mighty hand. We pray for President Trump that you'll watch over, protect, guide, direct him. Give him your wisdom from your throne on high. We ask that you would bless him and that our nation would be blessed through him. We also ask that you would bless and protect Melania as First Lady. We thank you for the beauty, the warmth, and grace that she shows not only to this nation, but to the whole world. We thank you for Vice President-elect J.D. Vance and his wife Usha and their young family. May he be a strength to President Trump, to stand beside him, to hold up his arms like Aaron held up the arms of Moses in the midst of battle. The prophet Samuel reminded the people, it was you that brought them up from the land of Egypt. And he said, now stand still that I may reason with you before the Lord. So Father, we take this moment to stand still, to remember the great things that you have done for this nation. Thank you for the protection, the bounty, the freedoms that we so enjoy. We remember to keep our eyes fixed on you, and may our hearts be inclined to your voice. We know that America can never be great again if we turn our backs on you. We ask for your help, and we pray all of this in the name of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, your Son, my Savior, and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Folks, as required by law, we will take a short break for station identification, and we will quickly return to the live inauguration events.
Faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio.
Kavanaugh, Justice Kavanaugh will swear in J.D. Vance here. His wife, Usha Vance, clerked for Kavanaugh when he was a judge on the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals here in Washington. Now, the vice president elect.
His kids are. Right,
yeah, they're with him. They're kind of getting everybody in place here. It's hard. Usha Vance is going to hold one of their young children and the Bibles. And this is.
Please raise your right
scene.
Hand.
That's multitasking.
And repeat after me. I, James David Vance, do solemnly swear.
I, James David Vance, do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance to the same.
And allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office.
The duties of the office.
On which I am about to enter.
On which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. Vice President.
J.D. Vance, the Vice President of the United States, being sworn in, shaking the hands with Justice Kavanaugh, a kiss for his wife. His young kids up there with him as well as he hugs each of them, shaking the hand there between Usha Vance, the Second Lady, and Justice Kavanaugh. Again, Usha Vance, after law school, was a clerk for then-Judge Brett Kavanaugh in the U.S. Court of Appeals here in D.C., so some connections there, certainly some personal connections.
You can see President Biden talking to the Vance
kids,
children.
Yes.
Very, very sweet moment.
What a nice moment that must be for the Vance family. Now the Chief Justice making his way to swear in President Donald Trump.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability.
And will, to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
Surrounded by his family, under the dome of the United States Capitol, in the rotunda, President Donald Trump taking the oath of office, becoming the 47th president of the United States. You can hear the cannons, the 21-gun salute from outside. Certainly a much more muted celebration than it would have been outside in the U.S. Capitol. The president now pumping his fist as he shakes the hands of all of his children. A few kisses for the First Lady, Melania Trump. Some words exchanged there with his children as he is sworn in as the 47th president of the United States, 8 years to the day after he was sworn in as the 45th president of the United States. You can hear the applause from the roughly 500, 600 folks inside the U.S. Capitol. Barron Trump shaking the hand of former President Biden, former First Lady Jill Biden as well. Sharing a moment with his folks. He looks up the youngest son of President Trump, a student at New York University.
terrible Smith's sword. He's
Academy Glee Club performing Hymn of the Republic. What a beautiful rendition it always is. It's always moving, and a big applause there from everybody, the president, the former president, clapping, smiling, as we prepare to hear the second inaugural address of President Trump, who just was sworn in by the Chief Justice, John Roberts, becoming the 47th president of the United States. Inside the Capitol Rotunda, as these ceremonies were moved inside, that decision made Friday because of the frigid temperatures here in Washington, D.C.
It is my honor and pleasure to introduce to you the 45th and the 47th President of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump.
That was Senator Deb Fischer introducing President Trump. The two shaking hands as President Trump now takes to the lectern set up here in the U.S. Capitol, the president's seal on it, as he will deliver his second inaugural address.
Thank you very much, everybody. Well, thank you very, very much. Vice President Vance, Speaker Johnson, Senator Thune, Chief Justice Roberts, Justices of the United States Supreme Court, President Clinton, President Bush, President Obama, President Biden, Vice President Harris, and my fellow citizens. The golden age of America begins right now. From this day forward, our country will flourish and be respected again all over the world. We will be the envy of every nation, and we will not allow ourselves to be taken advantage of any longer. During every single day of the Trump administration, I will very simply put America first. Our sovereignty will be reclaimed. Our safety will be restored. The scales of justice will be rebalanced. The vicious, violent, and unfair weaponization of the Justice Department and our government will end. And our top priority will be to create a nation that is proud, prosperous, and free. America will soon be greater, stronger, and far more exceptional than ever before. I return to the presidency confident and optimistic that we are at the start of a thrilling new era of national success. A tide of change is sweeping the country, sunlight is pouring over the entire world. And America has the chance to seize this opportunity like never before. But first, we must be honest about the challenges we face. While they are plentiful, they will be annihilated by this great momentum that the world is now witnessing in the United States of America. As we gather today, our government confronts a crisis of trust. For many years, a radical and corrupt establishment has extracted power and wealth from our citizens while the pillars of our society lay broken and seemingly in complete disrepair. We now have a government that cannot manage even a simple crisis at home, while at the same time stumbling into a continuing catalog of catastrophic events abroad. It fails to protect our magnificent, law-abiding American citizens, but provide sanctuary and protection for dangerous criminals, many from prisons and mental institutions that have illegally entered our country from all over the world. We have a government that has given unlimited funding to the defense of foreign borders, but refuses to defend American borders or, more importantly, its own people. Our country can no longer deliver basic services in times of emergency, as recently shown by the wonderful people of North Carolina, been treated so badly. And other states who are still suffering from a hurricane that took place many months ago. Or more recently, Los Angeles, where we are watching fires still tragically burn. From weeks ago, without even a token of defense, they're raging through the houses and communities, even affecting some of the wealthiest and most powerful individuals in our country, some of whom are sitting here right now. They don't have a home any longer. That's interesting. But we can't let this happen. Everyone is unable to do anything about it. That's going to change. We have a public health system that does not deliver in times of disaster, yet more money is spent on it than any country anywhere in the world. And we have an education system that teaches our children to be ashamed of themselves in many cases, to hate our country despite the love that we try so desperately to provide to them. All of this will change starting today, and it will change very quickly. My recent election is a mandate to completely and totally reverse a horrible betrayal and all of these many betrayals that have taken place, and to give the people back their faith, their wealth, their democracy, and indeed their freedom. From this moment on, America's decline is over. Our liberties and our nation's glorious destiny will no longer be denied, and we will immediately restore the integrity, competency, and loyalty of America's government. Over the past 8 years, I have been tested and challenged more than any president in our 250-year history, and I've learned a lot along the way. The journey to reclaim our republic has not been an easy one, that I can tell you. Those who wish to stop our cause have tried to take my freedom and indeed to take my life. Just a few months ago, in a beautiful Pennsylvania field, an assassin's bullet ripped through my ear. But I felt then, and believe even more so now, that my life was saved for a reason. I was saved by God to make America great again. Thank you very much. That is why each day under our administration of American patriots, we will be working to meet every crisis with dignity and power and strength. We will move with purpose and speed to bring back hope, prosperity, safety, and peace for citizens of every race, religion, color, and creed. For American citizens, January 20th, 2025 is Liberation Day. It is my hope that our recent presidential election will be remembered as the greatest and most consequential election in the history of our country. As our victory showed, the entire nation is rapidly unifying behind our agenda with dramatic increases in support from virtually every element of our society, young and old, men and women, African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, urban, suburban, rural. And very importantly, we had a powerful win in all seven swing states, and the popular vote we won by millions of people. To the Black and Hispanic communities, I want to thank you for the tremendous outpouring of love and trust that you have shown me with your vote. We set records, and I will not forget it. I've heard your voices in the campaign, and I look forward to working with you in the years to come. Today is Martin Luther King Day, and his honor, this will be a great honor, but in his honor, we will strive together to make his dream a reality. We will make his dream come true. Thank you. Thank you. national unity is now returning to America, and confidence and pride is soaring like never before. In everything we do, my administration will be inspired by a strong pursuit of excellence and unrelenting success. We will not forget our country, we will not forget our Constitution, and we will not forget our God. Can't do that. Today, I will sign a series of historic executive orders. With these actions, we will begin the complete restoration of America and the revolution of common sense. It's all about common sense. First, I will declare a national emergency at our southern border. Illegal entry will immediately be halted, and we will begin the process of returning millions and millions of criminal aliens back to the places from which they came. We will reinstate my Remain in Mexico policy. I will end the practice of catch and release. And I will send troops to the southern border to repel the disastrous invasion of our country. Under the orders I signed today, we will also be designating the cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. And by invoking the Alien Enemies Act of 1798, I will direct our government to use the full and immense power of federal and state law enforcement to eliminate the presence of all foreign gangs and criminal networks, bringing devastating crime to U.S. soil, including our cities and inner cities. As Commander-in-Chief, I have no higher responsibility than to defend our country from threats and invasions, and that is exactly what I am going to do. We will do it at a level that nobody's ever seen before. Next, I will direct all members of my cabinet to marshal the vast powers at their disposal to defeat what was record inflation and rapidly bring down costs and prices. The inflation crisis was caused by massive overspending and escalating energy prices, and that is why today I will also declare a national energy emergency. We will drill, baby, drill. America will be a manufacturing nation once again, and we have something that no other manufacturing nation will ever have, the largest amount of oil and gas of any country on earth, and we are going to use it. Let me use it. We will bring prices down, fill our strategic reserves up again, right to the top, and export American energy all over the world. We will be a rich nation again, and it is that liquid gold under our feet that will help to do it. With my actions today, we will end the Green New Deal and we will revoke the electric vehicle mandate, saving our auto industry and keeping my sacred pledge to our great American auto workers. In other words, you'll be able to buy the car of your choice. We will build automobiles in America again at a rate that nobody could have dreamt possible just a few years ago. And thank you to the auto workers of our nation for your inspiring vote of confidence. We did tremendously with their vote. I will immediately begin the overhaul of our trade system to protect American workers and families. Instead of taxing our citizens to enrich other countries, we will tariff and tax foreign countries to enrich our citizens. For this purpose, we are establishing the External Revenue Service to collect all tariffs, duties, and revenues. It will be massive amounts of money pouring into our treasury, coming from foreign sources. The American dream will soon be back and thriving like never before to restore competence and effectiveness to our federal government. My administration will establish the brand new Department of Government Efficiency. After years and years of illegal and unconstitutional federal efforts to restrict free expression, I will also sign an executive order to immediately stop all government censorship and bring back free speech to America. Never again will the immense power of the state be weaponized to persecute political opponents, something I know something about. We will not allow that to happen. It will not happen again. Under my leadership, we will restore fair, equal, and impartial justice under the constitutional rule of law. And we are going to bring law and order back to our cities. This week, I will also end the government policy of trying to socially engineer race and gender into every aspect of public and private life. We will forge a society that is colorblind and merit-based. As of today, it will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female. This week, I will reinstate any service members who were unjustly expelled from our military for objecting to the COVID vaccine mandate with full back pay. And I will sign an order to stop our warriors from being subjected to radical political theories and social experiments while on duty. It's going to end immediately. Our armed forces will be freed to focus on their sole mission, defeating America's enemies. Like in 2017, we will again build the strongest military the world has ever seen. We will measure our success not only by the battles we win, but also by the wars that we end, and perhaps most importantly, the wars we never get into. My proudest legacy will be that of a peacemaker and unifier. That's what I want to be, a peacemaker and a unifier. I'm pleased to say that as of yesterday, one day before I assumed office, the hostages in the Middle East are coming back home to their families. Thank you. America will reclaim its rightful place as the greatest, most powerful, most respected nation on earth, inspiring the awe and admiration of the entire world. A short time from now, we are going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, and we will restore the name of a great president, William McKinley, to Mount McKinley, where it should be and where it belongs. President McKinley made our country very rich through tariffs and through talent. He was a natural businessman and gave Teddy Roosevelt the money for many of the great things he did, including the Panama Canal, which has foolishly been given to the country of Panama after the United States. The United States, I mean, think of this, spent more money than ever spent on a project before and lost 38,000 lives in the building of the Panama Canal. We have been treated very badly from this foolish gift that should have never been made, and Panama's promise to us has been broken. The purpose of our deal and the spirit of our treaty has been totally violated. American ships are being severely overcharged and not treated fairly in any way, shape, or form. And that includes the United States Navy. And above all, China is operating the Panama Canal. And we didn't give it to China. We gave it to Panama. And we're taking it back. Above all, my message to Americans today is that it is time for us to once again act with courage, vigor, and the vitality of history's greatest civilization. So as we liberate our nation, we will lead it to new heights of victory and success. We will not be deterred. Together, we will end the chronic disease epidemic and keep our children safe, healthy, and disease-free. The United States will once again consider itself a growing nation, one that increases our wealth, expands our territory, builds our cities, raises our expectations, and carries our flag into new and beautiful horizons. And we will pursue our manifest destiny into the stars, launching American astronauts to plant the stars and stripes on the planet Mars. Ambition is the lifeblood of a great nation. And right now, our nation is more ambitious than any other. There's no nation like our nation. Americans are explorers, builders, innovators, entrepreneurs, and pioneers. The spirit of the frontier is written into our hearts. The call of the next great adventure resounds from within our souls. Our American ancestors turned a small group of colonies on the edge of a vast continent into a mighty republic of the most extraordinary citizens on earth. No one comes close. Americans pushed thousands of miles through a rugged land of untamed wilderness. They crossed deserts, scaled mountains, braved untold dangers, won the Wild West, ended slavery, rescued millions from tyranny, lifted billions from poverty, harnessed electricity, split the atom, launched mankind into the heavens, and put the universe of human knowledge into the palm of the human hand. If we work together, there is nothing we cannot do and no dream we cannot achieve. Many people thought it was impossible for me to stage such a historic political comeback. But as you see today, here I am, the American people have spoken. I stand before you now as proof that you should never believe that something is impossible to do. In America, the impossible is what we do best. From New York to Los Angeles, from Philadelphia to Phoenix, from Chicago to Miami, from Houston to right here in Washington, D.C., our country was forged and built by the generations of patriots who gave everything they had for our rights and for our freedom. They were farmers and soldiers, cowboys and factory workers, steel workers and coal miners, police officers and pioneers who pushed onward, marched forward, and let no obstacle defeat their spirit or their pride. Together they laid down the railroads, raised up the skyscrapers, built great highways, won two world wars, defeated fascism and communism, and triumphed over every single challenge that they faced. After all we have been through together, we stand on the verge of the four greatest years in American history. With your help, we will restore America's promise, and we will rebuild the nation that we love, and we love it so much. We are one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. So to every parent who dreams for their child, and every child who dreams for their future, I am with you, I will fight for you, and I will win for you. We are going to win like never before. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In recent years, our nation has suffered greatly, but we are going to bring it back and make it great again, greater than ever before. We will be a nation like no other, full of compassion, courage, and exceptionalism. Our power will stop all wars and bring a new spirit of unity to a world that has been angry, violent, and totally unpredictable. America will be respected again and admired again, including by people of religion, faith, and goodwill. We will be prosperous. We will be proud. We will be strong, and we will win like never before. We will not be conquered. We will not be intimidated. We will not be broken, and we will not fail. From this day on, the United States of America will be a free, sovereign, and independent nation. We will stand bravely. We will live proudly. We will dream boldly. And nothing will stand in our way because we are Americans. The future is ours. And our golden age has just begun. Thank you. God bless America. Thank you all. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, that was now President Donald Trump's inaugural speech. Fred, that was combative. I was not expecting that. And, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris sitting right there, some of the Democratic Party dignitaries. But as we said during one of the breaks, while we were off air, the guy just endured 4 years of ceaseless beatings.
Yes.
At the hands of his political enemies. That wasn't too bad for 4 years of that to basically lay out his agenda. He made a clear demarcation between the previous 4 years and these current 4 years now going forward, God willing. Listen, I like the speech. There were several times I just smiled and shook my head because it was a perfect Donald Trump speech.
Yeah. Donald Trump is a fighter. That is what got him through his first 4 years in office because he faced opposition right off the bat. It's what has moved him through the last 4 years when he faced all these legal battles, mainstream media against him.
Well, being called a threat to democracy.
Yes.
Fascist. I mean, just constantly.
Yes. But he has laid out his agenda, and he did not hold back, despite the fact that former President Biden sitting there, Kamala Harris, the other Democrats, he was forthright. Here's what I'm going to do. Go at the border.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're going to make it secure. We're going to declare the cartels as terrorist organizations, and we will do whatever is necessary to stop that. He declared war on climate change.
Yeah.
The agenda. People are going to be able to buy the cars that they want. Mm-hmm. He's getting government off of people's back. One of the other points, and there were many, he says, we believe in two genders.
Yes.
Male and female. If that's not a declaration against the whole transgender, against the battle that's been waging against women's sports.
Right.
He let it be known today he's on the side of women.
Yes.
That's what he did there today. And on and on. I tell you what, I looked at Joe Biden's face a couple of times, and at one point he was burying his face in his hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because this country is about to undergo a 180 turn.
Yes.
Politically speaking. 180 degrees to the Joe Biden agenda. The Joe Biden agenda is over. For the next 4 years, we are going to see if Donald Trump, with God's help, is able to succeed with his agenda, a very different direction for this country.
Chris, what'd you think?
Well, basically, he delivered on the three things that I believe put him in office: immigration, the economy, and the gender issue. And some people think, gender issue is not that big of a deal. A lot of females, I think, sided with him, or at least started to listen to him and what he had to say because of the Title IX issues. Those three things did drive him into office. Right off the bat, he went over immigration, as you guys mentioned. I want to take a minute to talk about how important the energy policy is. In an effort to bring down prices, we need sound and consistent energy policy, and that's why it's important that we go after our own sources, because if we can do things to cheapen energy and make it more abundant, make it more efficient, more readily available, we will, over the course of time, bring down prices. Whether you order something online a lot or you actually go to a store, energy made that product possible, from things that are made by people or things that are grown by farmers. If we have a sound and consistent energy policy, that will bring down prices.
And the distribution of those prices,
and
of those products.
Right. And, most people drive a car that does not run on diesel fuel, but diesel fuel made that. It got that product to the store or company that you bought it from. So if we can do things to bring down diesel, which is still ridiculously expensive today, we can bring down prices. A lot of people talk about eggs and how expensive they are. They still are. Him being in office today doesn't mean the price of your grocery bill is going to go down tomorrow.
Right.
But if they get these policies in place, you're looking at some possibly cheaper prices come Easter. That's not out of the realm of possibility, certainly by spring or summer and fall.
A couple of things stood out to me. Obviously, what you guys were talking about was critical to the heart of the speech. But the implication where he was talking about manifest destiny. Now, anyone who studied manifest destiny in school, in social studies or history, remembers that that was a worldview that indicated that America was destined to go from sea to shining sea. I wonder if when he was talking about increasing the lands where the start, where the flag flies, I wonder if that was a reference to Greenland.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to wait and see how that is, those comments are interpreted. But his statements on the Panama Canal.
Oh, yeah.
We are going to get it back. We did not give it to China, Panama Canal. We lost 38,000 lives building it. And Panama has broken its promises, you know, charging American ships, including our Navy, exorbitant prices above everybody else, and then saying we're going to get it back. I have no idea what that means.
We're taking it back.
We're taking it back. So we'll have to wait and see. That was maybe the most forceful thing he said in terms of foreign policy. So, well, look, we made a few comments. Folks, we're going to absorb the particulars of this speech, and we'll be right back here tomorrow, Lord willing, to discuss them on today's issues tomorrow.
Because by that time, he will have signed multiple executive orders.
Absolutely. 200 on the slate.
Yes.
For today. So
yes.
A lot coming in the next 24 hours. So folks, thank you for, I hope you enjoyed the live coverage from Fox News. Again, your support to this ministry helped make that possible. It's not a cheap thing, but we think it helps our listeners be right there when these major things are happening. So anyway, I'm sure there'll be lots of discussion the rest of the day in your news feeds. American Family News
yes.
will be covering this, Chris. Right?
Yes, if the Lord tarries, we're going to have coverage all day at the top of every hour and print, because we exist in two formats. On So stay with AFN for radio and print coverage.
All right, folks, that's all we've got for you for this edition of Today's Issues. We will now rejoin our regularly scheduled programming already in progress.